Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. Broadcasting here from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the broadcasting from the shores of the El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. We started our show here on this particular series of airwaves with those words back in June of 2007. And we're still here at the El Pacifico, trying to make hay while the sun shines, and we are still endeavoring to do the very, very best that we can. Our radio show, I'm very happy to say, and I'm very gratified to say, and I don't have any problem saying it, and I don't ever tire of saying it. Our radio show is, it's kind of an interesting thing. When I go out into the world, like today, I had a bunch of great meetings out in the west side of Los Angeles, which is where I live in the area. And I only say that because it seems that every city has its digital area. The digital area of Los Angeles is the west side.
Really?
Yes. And Margaret Gray, by the way, joining us. Margaret, how are you?
Well, I'm good. I want to hear about your meeting.
Well, I had some meetings today with some very, very interesting and exciting people. And who are they? Well, they're people that are involved in what is happening in the electronic media today. And that is something called digital. It's something called internet. It's something called downloads. It's something called the live podcast and the recorded podcast. It's something called the synergy between live performance and the podcasting of that performance and the digital storage of performances, advertising, and marketing. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you is this, and I've been sounding this warning in my own way, and, you know, to the extent that, you know, I'm not supposed to be doing this, I'm just telling you about my world. I'm just telling you about my life. I'm telling you about my world. This is what, this is all I know. I can come on here and I can lie to you. I can lie like a million other guys have done today to you and tell you all about President Obama and how he's screwing up the country. I can lie to you the way a million other guys have lied to you today and tell you that. What do you mean lied to us, Phil? Well, those guys aren't going to be honest with you. They're not going to actually, they're not going to actually deliver a performance. What they're going to do is they're going to tell you what basically they think that you want to hear, which is beat the hell up on Obama, talk about what a douchebag he is, what a lousy president he is, how Romney is this, Romney's that. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not saying because I'm an Obama supporter. I just happen to know the direction that talk radio goes in, or excuse me, spoken word. I know the direction it's going in these days, and it's got this, it's the most formulaic thing that you have ever had to suffer through in your life, and that it's called conservative radio. That basically means that that's what talk radio is. Okay, is it very creative? Of course not. Are the people that are doing it any good, with the exception of one or two? No, not only are they not any good, they should be doing something else for a living. They shouldn't be allowed anywhere near a microphone. 95% of them shouldn't even be allowed in a radio station. Mike Huckabee's doing a show. Fred Thompson did a show. They let anybody in the world near a microphone now, and what's the end result? Well, radio is losing money. It's going in the toilet as we speak. And meanwhile, today, I'm talking to guys in their 30s and 40s, young men, executives, who are talking to me about the world that they're involved in. It's got nothing to do with radio. There's 40 million people listening to podcasts in the United States, and it's getting bigger as we speak. There's cats in radio right now that are crawling on over broken glass to get to the doorsteps of these guys to say, please save me. What am I going to do, man, if I, what am I going to do if I lose my talk show? What's going to happen if there's no radio stations left? I mean, this is the kind of fear that is happening right now as we speak. And I realize as I'm talking this way, it's like a poor man's Howard Beale, you know.
I was going to say it sounds exactly like Howard Beale talking on the TV show that he did, you know.
In Network, yeah.
Yes, he was on the TV show and he was talking about the bad corporate moves that his company was making.
Yeah.
And then what do you think happened?
They had him killed.
Yes, they had him killed.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. Are you kidding?
Wait, what are you talking about?
Well, I can repeat it if you want me to, but what happened was Howard Beale told the truth in the movie Network.
Yes, in other words, it's a movie, bud. It never really happened.
Yeah.
And Howard Beale is the hero of this movie who goes on TV and he tells the audience what's exactly going on. He's talking about the machinations and the bullcrap at the corporate level. He's talking about who's buying the stock of the company. He's talking about basically who's controlling the editorial content of the news division of UBS, this fictitious network. It was written by Paddy Chayefsky. It was a very prescient. It predicted where television was going to go. So what's your point?
Well, my point is this, and again, you can take it and go with it anywhere you want. But Howard Beale got on television and he told the truth, and he wound up being shot and killed.
Well, I mean, he's talking about the truth.
Well, what do you think, Phil?
What are you giving me that look for? Are you trying to tell me you're serious?
Phil, all I'm doing is I'm bringing to your attention what happened in that film.
So are you telling me that my life is at risk somehow?
I don't know.
Okay, let me do this, all right?
Well, I mean, what's he talking about?
Take it easy. Let me just say this to you, Margaret. I guarantee you, no, it isn't. I guarantee you, no, it isn't.
Well, you remember Alan Berg, all right?
Well, let's not talk about Alan Berg. Or Alan Berg was a talk show host from Denver who got shot and killed by a bunch of right-wing fascist Nazis, not by a corporate hit squad, you know?
Well, but the point is, people can be targeted, and the police may be led to believe that it was a right-wing group or some militia. That was, I think, those were the people that killed Alan Berg, weren't they?
Well, the people that killed Alan Berg were a fascist. They were a Nazi. Yeah, they were a small cell of an offshoot or some kind of a group that broke off from Aryan Nation. So what are you saying? So in other words, they're...
Well, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the police could be led to believe that someone is gunned down by a right-wing militia when in point of fact, yes, it's a corporate hit squad.
Why would anybody take the time to shoot and kill Phil Henry? What I'm saying here on the air tonight...
Phil, people respect you because you are very honest. Now, you know some of the people that were writing last week when your name was mentioned in the radio press, a lot of those people started their articles by saying Phil Henry, not one to hold back his opinion.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of those guys were writing that because they're very uncomfortable writing that kind of stuff. These radio writers, I'm telling you, you know, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to pull any punches here.
That I think that was Freudian. You're not going to be honest. Now you want to pull back.
Margaret, listen to me. Those guys in the radio press are uncomfortable writing stuff like that. They don't want to write stuff like that. It puts them at odds with the corporation people. It puts them at odds with the programmers and the general managers. It puts them at odds with the CEOs. It means they don't get an interview with Joe Douche, the head of the Douche Broadcasting Company, you know. It means they got to talk to talent, which is never, in their opinion, a A-list interview. In the world of the radio press, the A-list interview is with some guy who thinks that the sun rises and sets on his own ass, like a guy like Mel Karmazin. Now, what do I do? I'm looking at an industry that's going to hell in a handcart, and so I tell a little bit of truth, and I'm not supposed to do that. That's what you're telling me.
No, Phil, I didn't say you're not supposed to do it. I'm just saying that there are people out there...
I know, that are going to... It'll impact my career.
No, I'm saying that there are people in the corporate world that could have you killed. Quite literally.
Well, I think you need a vacation.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Oh, I need... Excuse me, what do you know about it?
Me?
Yes, you.
I just think that's nuts.
Well, I'm telling you, Phil, you can tell me that I need a vacation. But when you brought up the name Howard Beale, I didn't bring it up. You did.
And I'm going to be shot and killed by the corporate interests in radio. Because of what? Because of why? Because I said what?
Because you're on the air talking about, number one, I heard what you said about these FM news talk stations that have morning news blocks. They sound like your grandmother's AM station. What's the point? Do you honestly think people want that being said about their stations?
Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't. But maybe I have a right to say that, because I'm getting sick and tired of being shoehorned into these stations that have news blocks in the morning and news block in the afternoon and news, and oh yeah, by the way, here's this weirdo Phil Hendry, and good luck, Phil, pulling an audience on a radio station that calls itself news. There's no thought, there's no creativity, there's no programming there, there's no marketing there, you're not taking into consideration anything about the show that I do, not at all. All you do is it's a very perfunctory and pedestrian way of approaching a radio show like mine. Say, well, you know, we're going to stick you on that station. Okay, fine, great. Now what, you've done your job? Good for you. Want me to pat you on the head and say, what a fantastic job you did. You cut some deal six ways to sunset, and you promised somebody this and that and something else. You got my show on a radio station that's a news station. I've been talking about this for 20 years, and you want me to be happy about this.
I'm telling you that those people are going to consider you to be very ungrateful.
Ungrateful? What favor have they done me?
They've gotten you on these radio stations, Phil.
They've gotten me on a radio station where I'm going to get bounced in a few months because, oh, wow, that's really... People don't get it. They don't get it because you ain't explained it to them. They don't get it because you don't get it. They don't get it because you have stuck it in the middle of a radio station that's a news station. That's why they don't get it. Do you guys get it? Have you got it figured out?
You could be killed.
What?
You could be killed.
Oh, get out of here, will you? Don't mind on that.
All right. Well, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I know, Margaret. You're just telling me. You're just saying, hey, that's, that could very well happen. That could very well be the case, and it ain't going to happen. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about things that are, a little bit more sensible, if you don't mind. Thank you very much. Stuff in the news. Let's find out if Romney's pissed off anybody today. Let's find out if Romney has shoved another foot into his face. Let's find out if Obama's done that. Let's find out if there's anything out there in this mad, mad, mad world of ours that we can point at and go, ha, 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 ha. Okay, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Get away with what?
That, what you just did while we were in a commercial break. I can't believe it.
Well, I did it, okay?
That's great. I loved it. Yeah, but he needs to, cut loose a little bit.
Cut loose? He was using every vulgarity in the... I can't believe you said some of the things you said.
Well, I said them to my subscribers. I didn't say them on the airwaves. I didn't say them across the fruited plain, as some of these guys call it. Some of these marvelous... talk show host. I said it to my subscribers on Phil TV.
I think, Phil, I swear to God, you are, remember when we were children, our parents used to say you're cruising for a bruising. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. It's like kind of a long time ago and really sort of lame.
It's kind of a long time ago and really sort of lame. Phil,
Margaret, what is your point?
My point is this. You're cruising for a bruising.
All right, you have already said that, you know, you think somebody in the corporate hallways of radio is going to have me killed. And if you keep on talking about it, I'm going to start thinking maybe you're the one.
Oh, my God, what did you just say?
I'm going to start thinking you're the one.
How could I? Why would you think that?
Because you won't shut up about it. You know, you won't. You're not shutting up about it. I said what I said, and that's all there is. That's all there is to it. And if you want to compare it to Howard Beale, which I would never do, you know, people are open to the truth. But they are not open to truth if it is not very elegantly delivered. And I realize that a lot of the stuff I'm doing here is I'm just raving like a lunatic, okay? I get that. But I am talking about something that I know a lot about. I'm not just sounding off about things that I don't have a working knowledge of. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I know I'm talking about my profession, my industry. Now, some people say, wow, Phil, you really care about the industry. No, I don't. I don't care. I could care less about the industry. I couldn't care less whether it goes up in smoke tomorrow. What I care about is me. I care about me. Insofar as the radio industry supports what I do, yeah, I care about the industry. But I'll tell you right now, if I was working on TV, if I didn't have to, I couldn't give a damn whether radio, every transmitter blew up tomorrow. It doesn't make any difference to me. You know, I've already made it really clear. I mean, it's a sad reality. I make all my money online, man. I don't make any money in radio. Are you kidding? This guy's all over the radio business right now. Morning drive guys getting their salaries cut by 60%. 60%. You want to know why? Is it because they suck? No, it's because the radio aristocracy blundered their way into this big black hole, this financial black hole from which they cannot extract themselves. They continue to keep making the same mistakes.
Look, here's a story here I want you to read, and I want you to take this into consideration because in a lot of ways, this is really what you're fooling with, Phil, and I...
Let me see it.
Don't take that from my hand, bud. Don't ever do that, please.
Bud, don't, let me, what is it?
I just want to make sure she's not canning you.
Handing him what?
Just, Mr. Henry, you're seeing Mr. Henry in a lot of stuff, and I want to make sure you're not handing him, like,
what?
Like, maybe a bomb or...
A bomb? Oh, my God, I think I'm going to streak.
Oh, what do you mean streak?
That is absolutely precious. A bomb. I'm going to hand that to Phil. A bomb. My God, I'm going to have to take my slacks off just to check.
Okay, Margaret, you know...
I'm not going to do it here. Boy, you wish.
You know, I got to tell you, it's been a real ball having you here, but I'm going to have to throw you out, you know.
Throw me out? I did not remove my slacks. I'm making a joke. I'm saying that he's so funny that I would be momentarily incontinent. Do you understand?
Yes, I understand. You didn't even need to explain it that much.
Look at all the news here. Why is everything crumpled up?
Because every time I try to go to read something, I got Bud grabbing it out of my hands. All right, now look. Here's the article. You just handed me this. New French cartoons inflame profit film tensions. France stepped up security Wednesday at its embassies across the Muslim world after a French satirical weekly revived a formula that is already used to capture attention, publishing crude, lewd caricatures of Islam's prophet, Muhammad. Why did you give me this?
Because, Phil, this is exactly what you're messing with. I'm not saying you're messing with the Prophet Muhammad. I'm not saying that you are doing anything against Islam. I am not saying that you are doing anything against the Prophet, blessed be his name. I'm not saying that you're doing anything against, may God bless him.
Will you knock it off with that, okay?
Why? Why should I knock it off?
Because people are going to think that you're being a smartass.
I am not. I'm trying to be respectful.
Well, don't do it.
Oh, well, yes, sir, Mr. Henry. I walk. Oh, my God.
Well, you know, you shouldn't be able to do what Mr. Henry says.
Bud, why don't you get your lips off of the you-know-what and come on in for the big win. Become a part of the team, all right? Take your lips off.
All right, Margaret, I don't want you talking to him like I'm not here and turning him against me, especially with the whole take your lips off the you-know-what and come on in for the big win.
Yeah, Rick, you sound weird.
I'm just saying, there's bigger fish to fry and there are broader horizons, Bud, for you than standing around and holding a towel to his ass.
Oh, man!
Well, this is why you have me in here, for the honesty and to be able to articulate some of these things that you're afraid to articulate, and I'm sorry, but I have to do that.
Margaret, you just got done telling me that my life's in danger, that I might be shot by members of the corporate aristocracy, I think you put it, of radio, because I'm being so honest, and yet I'm not saying some things that I should say.
What I'm trying to tell you is this. Admit to the fact that what you have done is risked your life. It is no different making fun of radio than making fun of Muslims. And that's my point. And
so making fun of people in radio is the same as making fun of Muslims because why?
Because they are that thin-skinned. All right, there, I said it. And I think you're in danger.
We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to get Harvey Wireman on the line.
Why do you need him?
None of your business. I'm going to get him on the line if you don't mind.
Why?
I'm not going to tell you why. I'm putting him on the air.
Why?
Phil Henry.
Never. I'm not answering you.
Why?
I'm not answering you.
Famous Bill Henry Show.
Bill Henry Show here. Anger over the film Innocence of Muslims has fueled violent protests from Asia to Africa in the Lebanese port city of Tyree.
I don't know. I think it's pronounced Tira or Tiriha.
Well, I mean, do you know?
I don't know for sure, but it, spell it.
I'm sorry?
Spell it.
T-Y-R-E.
Yes, that's the Lebanese?
That's a Lebanese port city, yeah.
That would be, you'd pronounce that, most likely you would pronounce that T-Y-E or T-Y-E.
Margaret, I don't know how do you pronounce that? What is that?
I just told you. What is the problem?
I don't know how to pronounce T-Y-E. I can't.
I'm giving you the French, if you don't mind.
All right, everything with you is the French. I don't understand that.
The French pronunciation here is applicable in that there was a French colony at that time in Lebanon when that city was founded. Additionally, we are talking about a French publication that has published these pictures of the Holy Prophet, blessed be his presence.
You're not a Muslim, and you're pandering to the Muslim sensibility by making these. Do you know what you're saying?
I most certainly do, Phil. I'm very offended by that.
What, you're offended by what?
You're making me sound as if I'm one of these fumbling, stumbling housewives that's, you know, frightened for their family, and so they're on TV saying, "Oh, I love the Islams," and You know how they sound? You've heard them on Oprah.
No, I haven't heard them, and I don't know what you're talking about. I'm simply saying to you that when you say, that sounded to me like you were pandering, you know?
No, I don't know what you mean.
You're going like, oh, blessed be the name.
That's what you do when you have a religion like this,
See, you can't even remember the name of the religion. What makes you think that anybody that is a Muslim is going to think you're being respectful?
I know that it's called Islam, but the people that practice it are sometimes known as Slams or Slams, as well as Muslims.
That's impossible.
Why is that impossible?
Because that sounds ridiculous.
Where are you getting this information?
You know something? Forget it.
I mean, I'm just curious.
Forget it. You guys go ahead and stumble along with this story, and you're already targeted, Phil, by a significant faction of radio management for the things you've said. Go ahead and make yourself a big target for those in slum that are...
For those in slum, I think you are saying that on purpose to make fun of the name.
My God, no, I am not. If anything, my credentials have borne out that I would never do something like that.
Well, then I've never heard it called slum. I've heard Islam. I've heard Islam.
Islam? Oh, what a... Well, you don't want me to say Gloyd.
No, I don't want you to say Gloyd. In any event, anger over the film Innocence of Muslims has fueled violent protests across the Middle East. Tens of thousands of people marched in the streets in Lebanon, chanting, "Oh, America, you are God's enemy." Worried France might be targeted, the government ordered its embassies, cultural centers, schools, and America? Why are they... because of that movie.
Yes, not the French newspapers.
Okay. Warned that France might be targeted, the government ordered its embassies, cultural centers, schools, and other official sites to close on Friday, the Muslim holy day. in 20 countries. It also immediately shut down its embassy and the French school in Tunisia, the site of deadly protests at the U.S. embassy last week. The French foreign ministry issued a travel warning urging French citizens in the Muslim world to exercise caution. This controversy could prove tricky for France, which has struggled to integrate its Muslim population, Western Europe's largest. Many Muslims believe the Prophet Muhammad should not be depicted at all, even in a flattering way, because it might encourage idolatry. You know what the problem is here?
What?
The problem is that unlike France, Britain, I'll reverse that. The problem is that unlike America, a country that was formed because of a concept of law, or somebody said once, and I think it bears repeating, America is the first country ever intentionally founded on a good idea.
What's that mean?
It meaning this. France came out of the tribal peoples that inhabited Gaul, who eventually were brought together forcibly by a series of rulers, some kings, others emperors, Charlemagne the most significant, who brought together the people and formed a nation. Britain, the same way, an island of tribes, an island of different cultures brought together by a series of very powerful rulers. I'm not just talking about Rome now, I'm talking about the actual natives of the island. Every country in the world has deeper cultural roots than they do legal roots, except for one, America.
What about Canada?
Yeah, well,
you talk about Canada, might as well say America.
Well, don't say that too loud.
That's very insulting. That's very...
What is?
You don't say when you talk about America, that's Canada. You don't...
All right, we're sorry, Margaret, you know.
Well, don't look at me like I'm the pain-in-the-ass liberal, okay?
Well, I mean...
The shoe fits! What did you say?
Nothing.
He said if the shoe fits.
And I'm not allowed to slap his face, is that right?
No, you're not. Yesterday you strangled him. So, no, we'd rather...
Boy, you got off. You got off today, bud, but tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah.
Anyway, and what's happening in France, and the reason why they and Britain have a difficult time struggling to integrate a lot of the peoples that arrive there is because there is a deeper tradition of tribe, of culture, of religion, of dress. There is a deeper tradition of those things in those countries than there is the Magna Carta, believe it or not. I mean, the Magna Carta, we're going back a long time, there's no question. The British people are probably the single most people most inculcated. And
what's that mean?
The people who are the most used to the rule of law, the British people in that country, because they have lived with the law, beginning with Magna Carta and on down through the centuries. But still, in all, man, it is a nation that, like other nations in Europe, other nations in Asia, other nations around the world, has deeper roots when it comes to the cultural ties and the tribal ties. So I think it's hard for a country like France or Britain to say, well, hey, welcome to our country and welcome to France, the rights of man and, you know, the French, vive la, the revolution and down with Marie Antoinette and all that bullcrap. Because really, you know, the French people see a history much deeper than that. It goes back way farther, and it goes back to the times of the Holy Roman Empire, and it goes way back to the times of when everybody was speaking Latin, and it goes back to a time when the priests ruled the country. And it, you know, so what are you exactly saying? How do you say with any authenticity to a Muslim, you know, we want to make you a part of France? Where is that, you know, really strong national identity? And I know if I was saying this to French people, they'd probably look at me and say, what are you talking about, man? We are really proud of our, you know.
Yeah, they got that whole, what is that?
They have, yes, thank you, Robert. They have the Le Marseillais. You know the Le Marseillais, right?
No, Margaret, if you're doing the French.
It's the national anthem of, oh, my God.
You know, da-da-da-da-da.
Here, da-da-da. Get out of there, bud.
Phil, it goes like this. Can I sing a few bars?
This is what?
It's the national anthem of France. It is the most widely recognized national anthem in the world.
Even more than the Star-Spangled Banner, the Star Spangled Banner.
You said Star Strangled Banner.
Yes, well.
Yeah, well, that was appropriate, seeing what happened on these airwaves yesterday.
That was unnecessary.
All right, I'm sorry.
The Le Marseillais is the French national anthem, and it goes like this. I don't know the words. The words are not important. The words are important, but they're not important. You know what I mean? So imagine standing there, a very proud Frenchman, and you're about to have a bayonet thrust through your abdomen for doing some ridiculous, I don't know, escaping Devil's Island or something.
What did he do wrong?
It's what French people do. They get executed, but before that they sing.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of movies.
Yes, they sing the song. So you're standing there and you're about to have your head cut off because you offended a queen. I don't know. And la 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 la. I need some water, but you hear what I'm saying?
I hear the melody.
Well, why are you looking so shocked? Phil, you don't need the words. Imagine how stirringly proud a Frenchman is when he hears, oh, hold on. I need water, please. Can I have water before I continue?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Margaret, I know what it is.
You know what?
It goes dun 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 dun.
Oh my God.
That's bad, Mr. Henry.
No, it doesn't go that. No. Nobody stands around, Phil, as if they have some sort of a spasm, some kind of a mechanical or musculature problem, a spasm. Okay, you understand?
Yeah.
No one stands around going, da-da-da-da-da-da, like they're waving their arms around like Jerry Lewis with muscular sclerosis or multiple...
Multiple dystrophy.
Every time we have this discussion, you always get it wrong, bud.
What?
Multiple dystrophy. It's multiple muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis.
What did I say?
You butchered it.
Oh, I butchered it. Well... The song, thank you for the water, Robert.
You're welcome.
The song goes like this. This is a wonderful national anthem.
Okay.
Hold on for a minute. That's a little light thing that I did, but I love to take national anthems and give them a little bit of a skip because they should be light, you know.
All right, can we...
Would you hold on, please? Good God, this is their national anthem.
I apologize.
Have some respect.
Yeah, Miss Grant, it's a good point.
Thank you, bud. That's a little something that I did.
Yeah.
La. Now here comes the skip to three and do 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 do. You see what I mean? So that gives it the lilt that you need, and I think the French people really need that now more than ever before, as their journalists and indeed some of their citizens are torched alive in their cars by Muslim terrorists. Phil,
Oh, God, Margaret. Okay, I get it.
Well, what is your problem?
My problem is the graphic nature of things that you describe. All right, folks, let's take a break. Thank you, Margaret, for the rendering of the French national anthem. It is, you're right, a very proud anthem. I don't know that you did it any good there.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, the whole do-do-do-do-do-do. I don't know, you know.
Phil, you really do look ridiculous with your arms going, ugh. You look like you've got a spasm. You know,
all right, thank you. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about these terrible times that the French journalists and satirists are going through. I stand with all satirists. Phil Hendry Show stands with the satirists of France. I won't be traveling there anytime soon, but I understand where you cats are coming from. Vive la France. Kick ass. Up the French Foreign Legion. Hey!
Truth. He's
what
our
a fascist!
Bitch.
You know that,
what's the
that?
Phil Hendry Show.
Well, that was very fascist. Don't you think that was rather fascist?
No, it wasn't fascist. You know, this is the kind of stuff that I, you know...
Oh, Phil, don't be a hero. You know, you have this tendency you want to be a hero.
Yeah, don't... Remember the song, Billy, Don't Be a Hero? Remember that one, Mr. Henry?
Yes, unfortunately, yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Because it was a stupid song. What about it?
Well, that B, Don't Be a Hero.
I think Bud is making a good point. You don't want to be a hero. I know you. You want to be Mr. Solidarity with all of the humorists and satirists all over the world and say, oh, I'm going to stand with the French satirists.
Well, I think somebody's got to say something. I think, I don't understand. I grew up in a time when I was in high school and I was a kid coming up. We had all of these really brave people. We had a lot of brave people that were speaking out. Yeah, okay, they might have been politically opposed to the war in Vietnam. But it wasn't so much it wasn't really what they were saying. It was the fact that they were saying it. It was the fact that they were standing up and they were appealing to people's intellect and good sense. They were a well-spoken people, and this was during the period. Martin Luther King, you know, we can talk about Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, but even in his own way, in his own time, and in, you know, in his own, for his own people, Barry Goldwater, who people call the father of modern conservatism. So what I'm saying is there were a lot of very brave people who spoke out when we needed people to speak out. And, man, I don't see that happening at all in our country.
What about President Obama speak out?
I haven't heard President Obama speak out about this. I've heard him say, well, you know, it's kind of a drag, man. And, you know, Jay Carney said...
No, excuse me, Phil. You're talking about my president, all right? Do you mind?
Excuse me. I've got the floor.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and listen to you mischaracterize... He didn't say, oh, wow, man. You know?
No, I didn't. I don't mean that. But I heard Jay Carney, the press secretary, say, yeah, we believe in free speech because it's in the Constitution, but... Remember what I said last week? The real answer comes after the word but, okay?
No, I don't. I don't hang on your every word like a lot of your listeners. And I don't know what that means. The real word... The what? The real answer comes after the but.
Yeah, that's what he said. Real answer... You see, you got to look at a person...
Shut up, will you, bud, and grow up? I'm talking about you can give somebody an answer. Someone can say to you, oh, yes, Margaret, we believe in free speech. We believe, but... So you can throw out the whole first part of that.
Why do you say that?
Because they've done this perfunctory and almost obligatory and patronizing, oh, sure, we believe in free speech, and we always have, ba-ba-ba-ba-boom-ba-boom. Like, they've done their duty for God and man, and they've now... successfully duped you and have successfully confused you, and they've got you thinking in the direction that they want you to be thinking in, so now they can drop the truth on you, which is, yes, we believe in free speech, but we don't think in this case it's so prudent or whatever the hell these guys say. So no, I have not heard President Obama. I haven't heard Mitt Romney, you know.
I thought I saw Mitt Romney say a thing.
Well, I don't know about Mitt Romney.
You know, here's the thing. Today, brave talk passes as this. If Romney or Obama were to say, that's really bad and they shouldn't do that, that would pass as some kind of really eloquent speech. But one of the most disappointing things was the murder of the young man who was the heir to the Van Gogh, one of the Van Gogh family heirs. He was, I forget his name, forgive me, but he was a filmmaker in the Netherlands. And his great-grandfather, I believe, or his great-great-granduncle was Vincent Van Gogh, the famous painter. He was murdered by a Muslim terrorist because he had made a film that exposed, to his way of thinking, ill-treatment by Muslim men of Muslim women. He made this film, and as you can imagine, in Europe, the proximity of people and the proximity of these cultures in countries where, as I said, they have no real deep history of law as much as they have a very deep history of tribe and language and culture, and, you know, cats are going to get really offended. And
So you're saying what? He made this movie, and what happened?
He was murdered! He was shot and killed. And I didn't hear anybody in the film business in Europe, although it might have happened in Europe. I didn't hear anybody in the film business here. I didn't hear anybody say, what a disgrace. Because we don't have that kind of courage. And I'm not saying it just about the left either, man. I don't see any guts on the right side of the fence either. All right, I think we probably talked as much about this as we possibly can, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so, man, because you keep on talking about it.
Well, Phil has a death wish. He wants to talk about radio some more, and all of those suits are going to be sitting there, and they're going to get out. I don't even want to.
They're going to get out what? Go ahead, you might as well finish it.
Phil, there are men in very expensive suits tonight who have gone out of their way to purchase switch knives, to purchase zip guns.
You get out of here.
What zip gun?
It's a homemade gun. Why would they what are you talking about?
So you can't trace them. My God. So you're that brain dead.
So there's general managers of radio stations with zip guns and what else?
Never mind.
Zip guns and switch knives.
Switchblades and zip guns. What is this, Dino, 1958? I'm going to go rumble with these guys. I'll be right back.
You know what? I hope you live a long life, but when you do die, happily with your family around you, you suddenly open your eyes and there is hell. All right? There's the street sign. Hell. Entrance around
Phil
back.
Henry.
Right?
I get the idea.
No, I don't think you do.